most people here who are interested in chatting with me about documentation.
My name is Matt Dew. I've only been contributing to X for about 6 months, since March. So to be honest with you, I feel a little strange talking to you guys about documenting X, because you all know way more than I do. But that's actually the part of X I'm interested in doing, is giving documentation to all. So I thought I'd talk a little about my background. As part of my presentation is about being a newbie to X, how I got involved, and what I'm doing, kind of how I got that way. I don't want to sit here and talk for an hour. I'd much more prefer this was like a discussion about documentation, because we all, I think, just can agree it's pretty important. It needs to be done. Ideas, what we want to do, et cetera, et cetera. So please don't be quiet. Talk to us. All right, first, a little background about myself. Like probably everyone in here, I'm a Linux geek, or probably pretty BSD geeks in here, too. I started back in 95, so I'm pretty comfortable around it. Been a lifelong engineer for 11 years. I do FPGA designs, so I'm very, very comfortable with the hardware level, gate level, stuff like that. I'm very comfortable in. My software skills are, they're there. They're not terrible, but they're not fantastic. I've got a little bit of documentation experience, just because as an engineer, you got to read lots and lots of white papers, specs, things like that. Not a lot of writing experience, but a little bit, because one of the things we have to do is we have to deliver the documentation to our customers about what we did, how it works. So I've got a little bit of experience there. Last year, I went back to school. So instead of becoming a full-time engineer, I became a full-time student. And like a lot of students over the age of 25, non-traditionals, I took school very, very seriously, so I had very little free time. Pretty much, from the moment I woke up to the moment I went to bed, I was studying, doing homework, things like that. So I didn't have a lot of free time to work on stuff outside of school. After about 7 months of that, I started going a little batty. 12 hours a day of schoolwork and stuff, they'll start to get to you. I needed a break. Preferably something that was computer related, since once school is over, I have to go back to work. So it would be nice to kind of get my feet wet again.
So that's what I did.
I started poking around on the internet, wandered over to the X.org list, which I lurk on occasionally, and I saw Mark's post. He reposted Jim Geddes did about a write-up of the status of all the X.org technologies, where each of the parts are, how they're coming, things like that. And it kind of rekindled an interest in how to help with X. Okay, I'll send an email to Mark and see how I can help. The big thing was then Bart responded. I was like, hey, thanks for offering help. What do you want to do? That's kind of how I got involved, actually, at that point. Wanted to help X for a long, long time, but I didn't know what to do. A lot of people, like, they have a problem with their video driver, and they know exactly how they want to help. You know, hey, this is one thing I really want to solve. How can I solve this? I knew I wanted to help, but I didn't know how or what I could do. One thing I would like to do is help grow X. It seems like it's a really, really important project, but there's not that many people working on it. I mean, this room is the vast majority of the actual X developers, right? There's 30 people here. So that's, I'd like to help grow that number, actually be one of them, too. So that's kind of my purpose. Was it hard to get involved? Yes, it was, I feel. And this slide is more for people who haven't actually gotten into X, but are curious how to, rather than you guys in here, because you already are involved. It seemed like it was really hard to get involved. Say again?
Still intimidating.
Yeah.
It's so complicated.
You guys?
There are most of my days. What is this?
So how do you get by that?
Most of my days are just, I'm so sorry.
Alright, so it's not just us newbies where I feel X is really, really intimidating. So a little confident, I guess.
So is it hard to get involved because of X or because we don't respond to mail very well or where?
It's a little of both, although it's probably more the former. If I had to choose between the two, X is, as y'all know, the learning curve is massive. It's 6 months, I don't know anything about the project.
Just beginning.
Knowing who to ask for help is also a problem. Who do you ask to pick with on? Because usually if it's a directed email, you're more likely to get a response than if you just send it out to the mailing list. There's the maintainer's file, which is helpful. Mm-hmm. That is very helpful. Unless the maintainer's file is out of date or points to an email address that's debunked. It's not perfect at all.
Who to look, where to ask. That's one of the things I'm going to fix.
That right there is probably the biggest thing that got me through. When I sent the email to Bart, he responded. Like, how can I help? Here's some things we need some help on. How do you feel like helping? And so there's this back and forth between Bart and I. That right there was the biggest thing. Bart responded, and he kept responding. Hugely helpful. I'm still thankful for that. And then Dayton also started becoming a regular helper. I had asked him a lot of questions. Probably a lot of them were kind of stupid and wrong, but he responded, helped me out. I started getting into things, would type of make files, and we'll get people on that side. So, again, hugely helpful. Dayton, if you're watching this, Bart, thank you very much. I very much appreciate it. So what I ended up doing, as you probably guessed from the title of this slide, I'm doing documentation. I'm here to document what you guys are doing, or help out. Help you guys, help organize what you guys have already documented. I'm not doing anything, I'm just organizing it. What's involved? Basically, I'm just gathering what's already there. There's a lot of information out there. But it's scattered everywhere. There's some on freedesktop.org, there's some on the Excellent Wiki, there's some on distro forums, Ubuntu's got a bunch, Gentoo's got a bunch. There's some on people's private machines, which is great for them. It doesn't really help the rest of us. We're trying to figure things out, so I'm just trying to gather this up and put it in one place. Preferably the XWiki is where I want to put it. And then organize it. So once I've gathered it up, what do you do with it? You got to make a final. So there's two things. One, if you already know what you want, then all you basically need to know is where the information is at. That's the easy part. If you're not really sure what you want or what you need, you have to have a basic idea of what's available so you can kind of figure out for yourself what you're looking for. I think I have this problem. Where can I go to get a list? Well, maybe over here, maybe over here. What's this? This might work. So that. Those are the two things I'm basically working on. Why documentation? There's a comment on Think Wiki about 3 weeks ago now that pretty much sums up every conversation I've ever read online about X. I'll try this, and it ends up on this forum that nowhere else gets that information. So you get the forums that have duplicate information, sometimes contradictory information. What do you do? We've established that documentation needs to be done. Who's going to do it? Well, why not me? So what am I going to do? I said before, as an engineer, I spent a lot of time, the rest of you guys have to do that, I spent a lot of time reading documentation. You got to appreciate good documentation. If it's good, it's really helpful. If it's bad, you're in trouble. If it's wrong, you're beyond in trouble. So I've got a little experience with that. Might as well put what I can. What I have is really why documentation. I think we all can agree on that slide. Documentation is really, really, really important, right? I think I've talked to anybody who hasn't thought that. I don't think I can overstate it. The slide kind of speaks for itself.
Missing a few things.
Yeah.
That's way too much.
We're not making it easier either.
There's a link at the bottom if you're not going to check
it out. I see that.
That is actually the single most useful slide of X I've managed to come across.
Was that the one you posted on the mail list?
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
And apparently some of it's wrong. Told me what is wrong.
I didn't even know. I had to look at that. And when you look on the text on the front, actually looks that up. That was like a bit of a back of whip.
So y'all want to help me fix this slide?
That's GLX.
How's that generated?
Yeah.
He used
Really, that's
how the software you use to post that. If they came to go-to forums,
they send them a list to see, hey, can I get this and turn it into like SVG or something.
I like the data. Maybe you guys reply back.
A big file.
Yeah, this is
a
1.1 meg PDF. Oh, but you're starting. Oh, okay.
Oh,
Lord.
Where am I?
So I think everybody's checking out this link right now.
Yeah. How does this work?
Actually, you're the diagonal link at the top. Keep doing
a little bit.
Oh, man.
You see that? So basically, there's two options. When you ask a question about X, you get nothing. So it's crickets chirping on the mailing list, or you get this.
Are you trying to say that the description you get is so complicated that no mere mortal can understand it?
Or you get nothing, yeah. I'd still prefer this over nothing, though, because at least I can kind of.
Once you start digging into it, actually, it's understandable, I thought.
Yeah.
Providing it's correct.
Well, there's a couple of. I don't know.
Yeah.
There are things that are being stated here which I would not state it that way.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's a bunch of opinion on this.
Yeah. We're really bad. One of the things that we've been really bad about is we have a lot of acronym soup that makes it very difficult to understand why is this one feature so important? Why did AI GLX matter? Well, it doesn't matter anymore. It mattered then because it made compositing work. Why does compositing matter? Well, but all we have is the acronym. All we have to have is the feature name because it's hard to describe in any other way. And
so it sounds like we're a bunch of stuff. We just need a good wiki.
You know, right? That would be great. I've gone back and forth on this. And I'm sorry to hijack, but I can shop with you.
No, please talk. That's why I'm doing all this.
At one point, I had written just a text file that tried to go kind of in expository order and say, here's the things behind OpenGL on Linux. Here's what these words mean, and enough about them so you can attach some meaning to them, and then eventually at the bottom kind of tie them together and say, oh, this is why this piece matters. And it worked for a while, but I couldn't keep up to date because the scenes kept changing behind me. And it really only changed the nature of the questions. Like, it changed the question from what is AI GLX to so why do I need it? Or how come this driver doesn't have it yet? And like, why doesn't an NVIDIA driver have it? Well, because they don't need it for this, you know. It's really hard to.
Well, the answer to that is they do have it.
And it didn't matter for them because they had direct rendering TFD from like day one. But the level of documentation that you need for an enthusiast to understand sort of what's going on, or even just someone trying to consume it, is sort of different from the documentation that you need for somebody trying to contribute. And as open source people, we're not necessarily really clear on what the distinction is. I think a lot of us got very comfortable with the idea of building everything from source and trying to step to build the world. And therefore, we understand it in terms of these very, very small component pieces. But when I work on my car, I don't need to know about my compression ratio. Like, I just need to know, oh, my fuel pump's not starting, right? And there's no good way of attaching that sort of sense of scale to concepts and saying, these are the things you need to know now. These are things that you might need to know later as a developer. I think that's one of the things that I found with trying to maintain this kind of documentation is I'm so close to it, I don't know how to stop it.
Just interesting, at least interesting, but someone else to write it.
Yeah. But this is a great graph. I mostly like it because it's your favorite.
I think I like it because it's so damn complicated they don't figure it out. the real question I have is, what part of X are you trying to document?
That's nicely answered in a later slide. The short answer is, eventually, anything that's useful.
The question, it's a complicated question. The answer is just the complicated.
Okay, so you want to write documents about dinosaurs, or are you going to talk about the latest and greatest?
Right now, anything that's in you, well, given a given window, what's in use right now?
Dinosaurs.
So, right, dinosaurs.
Yeah. There's a lot of archaeology you're going to have to do to figure out what parts of X are still being used. I mean, this problem we're all trying to solve now. I mean, we've got this humongous thing. What are we actually using?
Part of the advantage of this, I realize that I know so little of what's really going on. That's part of what I have to do is figure it out and then try to document it.
Well, I'm going to be eager to find out what you come up with, because I think virtually everybody here at X Maintenance wants to know what anyone's using.
I'm happy to do this. I mean, I want to see an X documentation, get the point, if someone asks a question, what's considered a good documentation with good documentation?
I presume you've already seen your Ryan books.
You mean the old ones?
Yeah, the old ones.
Not the hard copy, the hard copies with the Alan Schneider.
You haven't seen those that everyone's trying to get rid of?
The thick ones are like there's 15 of them?
Yeah. Okay. Actually, that's not a bad place to begin looking.
Did anybody actually pick, I know that post was on the mail, did anybody actually pick those books?
I got some people, I got some boxes to send out. Yeah, so, at least one of them is going to Portland, so you may be able to share.
I mean, it has so little of what's in those books is actively used these days that
those books are mainly protocol.
That's fiction, right? That's protocol and library. But the library is, I mean,
the library is a very thin body.
And the protocol spec, the protocol is very thin, and the sections of the protocol that we still use in intensive fashion are very limited. So the protocol goes into this endless detail on passive and active drafts. Nobody uses any of that stuff.
Easy one for that kind of
it was too hard for application developers to figure out because it was broke. And it was designed by a committee who had never implemented it and thought, oh, well, we need this additional mechanism to solve this additional race case.
Ah, oh, right.
And what it turns out, the better solution was just, accept the fact that you're going to have race conditions, but make it possible for application developers to understand what they're doing. So they ignore all the complexities. Mostly, though.
That's a good point. There's a lot of detail in the books about things that don't exist.
Modern application developers don't.
In the actual code. So it's sort of like the wish list.
Yes, it doesn't use root stuff.
It's a good
maxims. Most good matters don't even talk about it. I guess they do replay documents.
They're arguing.
Well, that's the only thing you can do.
So, just the core rendering stuff.
There's two things that you said about fill rectangles,
and list,
and copy variant.
Well, I think. I suspect that you're going to be trying to write about how implementers would write client programs more than how the internals of the protocol or non-protocol work.
Yeah, writing about the protocol stuff, no. I can't do that at this point. I don't know.
But if you wanted to write a program in the X something library, I guess, you'd have to have a manual for doing that.
That documentation, that particular documentation exists. You got Qt, Q, you got GDK, they're doing it.
I sometimes think they're trying
they have to in that case because we have no documentation for the new stuff.
Well, that would explain some of the code.
That's a little bit strange.
So, man, it makes this complicated. It's like, Yeah.
Well, one thing I think maybe you could do is maybe some of us could help look at those things and decide what is really useful or interesting these days and what is mostly historical, and then make a this is mostly historical category or something.
I kind of feel that this is where Matt is going. Is going yeah. Exactly where yeah. Yeah. So far.
One interesting idea would be, I don't know anything, to track how an XCV command or an XCV command goes down the stack and passes through components and finally to the video card, and maybe document the procedure just for someone completely new to get a feel for the architecture.
So basically, you get a command that says create window and basically track exactly where it goes.
Okay, perhaps
it's pretty good.
Something like that, or select a few use cases. And
so here's where you start. For example, the function, the specific function call is called, and track it all the way through the hardware.
It shows up.
Yeah.
There's a function being reported, and so on. So the video list. Yeah, that one right there kind of is driving what I'm doing right now. I think Dave made it actually. There's plenty of documentation out there. It's just words, and it's all over. Yeah, again, that's basically what I'm doing. Plenty of documentation, but if you can't find it, what good is it? It's probably breached the require, I know, but it's pretty much it. It's everywhere, it's on Wikipedia, Git3, freedesktop.org, so I can round it up. All right, Oracle Cook, yep, and then once it's rounded up, you gotta make it searchable, you gotta make it findable, but more than that, you actually know what's there. Table context is. Contents are very helpful. What's generally what do you have? An index is helpful. It's like, okay, more specific, different terms. What am I looking for? That's kind of where a wiki breaks down, but that's a separate topic. This consistent structure, it's got to be consistency. That actually is probably just as important as having documentation. If it's completely inconsistent, it makes it much harder to find stuff. So consistency is huge on the importance list. I'm going to try to help with that too, make it more consistent. And then remove duplication. There's a couple of examples on the wiki where the same information is on there twice. And I think a couple of times, one of the instances will get updated and someone forgets about the other instance, so then you got conflicting information. So, I need to fix that too. And then once we know what we have, we can fill in what we don't have. So while I'm rounding it all up, right across Alan's wish of one document format to rule them all, basically. I think that was one example, right?
We've been talking about that for since XORG started up years ago. This, at least getting off of all of the document formats that were created in 1990 and nobody has the tools to work with anymore.
Who is the stuff that's still in FrameMaker? Is that XCV?
XKV.
XKV.
Okay.
My bad.
Yeah, that's in FrameMaker.
Yes.
Anyway, so yeah, we got trough, text, FrameMaker, ASCII doc, and doc for HTML. ASCII doc is Peter? Is it? You were looking into ASCII doc, is that right?
Yeah, I went up at the XR2 stuff. I started using ASCII doc for the Unix cycles.
Yeah.
For two reasons. Writing XML for the whole Linux aspect made me go insane slowly. Trough was worse.
Yeah.
And ASCII has the advantage that can point people to the CBIT URL and you can read it immediately, it doesn't need to be parsed. Mm-hmm. So you can just have a piece of documentation online without having people parse the XML specs and stuff. So it's not great, but for developers it's a little better. Mm-hmm. Like worse for the user because it's a little bit nice, but like the stuff.
I ended up going with most of the conversion text was done into XML, but I did notice I was going to key follow up on that too. So.
Well, there's also a lot of documentation that's even coded in like Doxygen format.
How do you, there's something I wanted to ask about that. Is Doxygen, it's not widely used at XBase, the code base, is it? Some people like it, some people don't.
It depends on where you are in the code base and how old the code is. I think people are using it more in new things that they're writing.
think we need to take any decision was just simply to refute every new comment to the oxygen. Mm-hmm. So let's get on with
that. Let me ask you guys this directly. Is oxygen useful?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
I find that oxygen is useful as a developer because I can look at the function and have some idea of what invariance it's expecting without having read it before. And I can't keep that on my head. It's, we can keep chipping away at how big the server is, but it's still too large. So having not just human readable, having a human readable thing that's not just end use for, you know, useful documentation, but also a description of what the code's expecting, what invariance it wants. This is going. This is the way the world is before. This is the way the world is after. Here's the valid things you can pass in. Is actually useful, even as a developer. So just, and we're a little bit better about putting that in the comments or commits now, and saying this is why we changed this. But then you still have to go back and get one to see it. It's not in the same place.
Having the docs and the code means you have one place to make updates instead of I have to go update the wiki. Whatever.
Yeah. And so, you know, oxygen lets you generate developer documentation a little bit easier, but it's not something that you can then submit that in newbie and say, by the way, this is why this is cool.
It's just for other developers.
You kind of a bit more with oxygen, like reference things like that, but that actually requires you to write a bit of stuff. So you can do cross reference and modules and stuff like that in Oxygen. So.
All right.
Actually be grateful that you want to look into this and you want to do this.
I mean, Dr. Digital.
Yeah.
I do want to look into it.
So, I guess you can do it.
That's why I'm kind of, basically, I'm giving an idea of what I want to do, where I'm going, kind of want feedback, so you don't think that's things. I really want that.
Converting all the docs in three. There are roughly 140 documents in the
GA. You will have to ask people. I mean, there are comments, like in the damage header, there's a comment saying, avoid using this code. It only exists for API compatibility. So what does this mean? Nothing. It's just telling that avoid using this code, but the code works just fine. So
maybe there's something stuff like that.
Probably how it should be.
Somebody should kind of go from this way.
Yeah, so exactly why the reason as opposed to
the things like that, it's also useful to run heap blame and see how often it's coming because when you're there already and meet the matching API that will come down and if it still exists or has existed in the last decade. Because I know I've just removed a couple of such ones that we have used as a team, but we still get all the active ones from it. So.
Basically, I'm moving from converting stuff into Docker.
Why I've chosen, I wasn't around for that. I think it's a good idea just because some of the other projects use it.
But yeah, that's what I'm doing.
Prof, text, docbook, FrameMaker, and AcidDoc.
And there was Linux doc stuff in there at one point too, but I think that's all they converted.
As of a couple months ago, I think we're finally rid of all the Linux doc.
Except for in the Linux kernel.
Yeah.
Which I actually want to finish converting over to Linux doc so that all the kernel tools work on it.
The kernel still uses all Linux doc stuff?
Everything in the kernel except for some of the VRM files use kernel doc, which is doxygen-ish. But right now, if you do make docs on the VRM code, it fails all over the place in the kernel code because it's doxygen, not. So it's a holdover from when we had a separate VRM repo for both the VRM username code and the VRM module. So I would like to convert that over so that the regular kernel tools will generate documentation. The other advantage of that is then I can directly include the kernel function documentation into the VRM documentation guide that's in the kernel. Like the libATA is a good example of having how to do the kernel side of the documentation. It's a docbook formatted document that pulls in function definitions, structure definitions, and things from the kernel sources, which are KDoc, and generates a nice document. And that generates I think you can generate a PDF and a book, but you can buy on Amazon that generates from that document.
Which libATA?
LibATA, yeah. That's just an example of how we do it on the kernel side, which worked out pretty well.
would you consider it good documentation?
I find the KDoc annotations to be a little more readable than the DocStream ones, which add more vertical white space and backslashes than I like them.
Well, so the doc, I mean, I thought that KDoc was... So what DocStream did is they basically took every kind of code documenting thing that any tools had ever used and glopped it all in. So I think there's a superset of it, of KDoc.
Yeah, I think so. But then some of the annotations are slightly different, which is the downside. So I don't think you can just do... You might be able to do just KDoc and have DocStream work on it.
That's what I'm thinking, is that maybe we could sort of agree on a coding convention.
But for example, when you're documenting a function in KDoc, you document the... You write the name of the function, and that's duplicated, unfortunately, in the documentation, the comment block above the function, and you have a short summary. The function arguments are documented with an ampersand function argument name, colon, then a description. And on DocBook, I think you do like a backslash something, and then
so there's like four different ways you can do that. Yeah.
So as long as it supports the KDoc way, then that's even better. But I don't know, I haven't tried running DocStream on other kernel stuff that's just pure KDoc.
I think it actually varies more than that. Those PostScripts, I think that's tacked up to a few others, so. So what's done? Basically all the chop and type files are done. It's about 1600 pages of documentation that they converted. Initial conversion. That basically just means I've gone through and just converted them over. They should be exactly the same, although the layout and stuff is going to be different, the text should be the same. I'm sure there's bugs in there. Next while afterwards, I'm going to go back and proofread it, make sure it's all the same, etc. Text files are done. That's about 100 pages. Working on the HTML right now. It's actually pretty simple, but I seem like I ran out of time right as I finished all the others. So even though they're a lot simpler, I haven't had any time to do much of them. But I'm getting there. Yeah, links block tickets are done, and ASCII doc. What's left? That's it. Finish up basically the FrameMaker files and the HTML files, get those done. Yeah, go back, proofread them. And then basically the fun stuff starts. Nice thing about DocBook is you can embed links all over the place in all the documentation. So if something references something else, you just have, you can go nuts with the cross linking, which I find really useful.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then basically made it pretty. Hopefully by mid-January it'd be all nice and pretty-ish. So, yeah, and then after that, then the more the modification stuff starts. So basically all the documentation that's there is kind of gathered up. There's converted over to DocBook. No changes, just DocBook eyes that's already there. And then we start with the other stuff. Start making diagrams for all the modules, you know what to do, how they fit into the big picture. Nice big purple book of X, which is what I kind of want to do. Basically, one place for all the X documentation. Since it's a soft book, basically, it's just a matter of creating an index file, and you just pull in different parts and it'll generate everything. That's, you know, and then little things like selecting a subset of DocBook tags. There's hundreds and hundreds of tags that exist in DocBook. We don't want to use all of them, and most projects like Katie and Gentoo take like a subset that they use and they stick to. They probably won't do the same just to keep it simple. So we'll do that. And then determining what goes in the book and what goes on the wiki. Not everything needs to go on the wiki, especially things don't change all that often. Probably don't need to go on the wiki. Again, I'm going to ask you guys for help on that.
Informationally, in case anyone is interested, there are some components that are pretty important in our modern stack that aren't documented at all. For example, LibVRM doesn't have man pages now. I don't think it would be really nice for it to. There's not that many calls, so it wouldn't be a huge job to document it. So if you have a wiki or a to-do list somewhere.
There's a to-do list. LibVRM?
LibVRM. And if each of the chipsets has a subset of, a set of calls that are exported to LibVRM as well. Be cool if all those were documented in man page format installed as part of the library.
Who's the people to ask on that?
DRI development, we want.
Yeah.
Everyone's here, actually. So basically just talking about the book I want to do. Basically, it's going to have everything that doesn't change all the time. So it's like a full book to go to if you want to know something. And then after that, I go back to the wiki. I'm still gathering up information that's out there. I'm rounding up, and eventually I want to show them the wiki. Next wiki is a little cumbersome to use if you're not used to how it's set up. So I'd like to help kind of fix that. Try to figure out some way to put like an index detail contents on it because those are useful. Again, I'm not all that familiar with WinMoin, but there may be a way to do that. What's missing? It sounds like there's some things people know are missing. I think there's other things that people don't know exactly what's missing and what's not missing.
You said so you want to document X, but by X, do you want to document DRI and DRM also?
I don't know. I don't know where exactly those are the kernel side pieces, right? I'm not entirely sure how they fit into the whole picture, so that's part of the question.
Because personally, I would like it too, because I've been working on Nouveau. I've just started also, so I've run into the whole mess of documentation. And there's a lot of redundancy, as you said. So for instance, Nouveau is putting most of the public documentation in his wiki on free desktop. But even then, it's not well linked with, in fact, there are pages that have no links. So if you know them, you can go there. So DocBook is great. But we also have redundancy on X because DRM is explained in terms of X. So if there were one nice big documentation for everything, well, partitioned, of course, but it will be really great. As someone said, having the layers well explained would be great.
There is this other page, osorg.org/osorg.
Yes.
So what about this one then?
Is that the kind of the wiki I did? I don't know that. I think that's the wiki I did, right?
Yeah, it's there and it's trying to organize all these things, but there's some mislinking and so on. So what is the idea of this one?
Basically, that was, if y'all, actually, I'll bring it up. Have you guys seen this?
Google is already indexing this.
It is indexing it? I think I'm
wrong. Yeah.
Okay.
Crap.
Basically, it's if you go to that site, it's a wiki I kind of threw up. It's a temporary wiki. It's just the collection place where I was putting everything I was gathering up. It's eventually everything that's on that site is going to get moved back to the main X wiki. It's just temporary because I don't want to have two different wikis going on.
Yeah, exactly.
If there's cross linking, there shouldn't be. I thought I fixed all of those. I'll go back for that.
No, like having the point is that I think that we shouldn't like be splitting up in two different weeks, and that's all. Just as like, know what is the idea.
That was just for me to kind of keep an idea of what the documentation was. That wiki is temporary; it is going away. Everything will get moved to to the next wiki for sure.
I have a comment.
Does the UI looks better than the current wiki?
That I'll agree with. The template that I used was from the kernelnewbies.org. You guys have been there. This guy just took that and just changed the links to work for us. So I like the kernel newbies wiki better as far as how it looks.
How are you going to purge all of the conflicting information on the net?
On the net?
On the web?
No, not going to happen. The only thing I can do is
the XORG wiki and the X sources. This stuff is on the forums, the distro forums, and other stuff. I'm not even going to bother with them.
Yeah, or if it comes up first in the Google hits, don't worry about the rest.
Yeah, the best we can do is be authoritative for everything that's on the wiki and make sure that we've got it right. And then if there's ever a disagreement, we can say, we're very sorry that you found this bad information somewhere else. We'll go right.
Yeah. Ubuntu actually has some pretty good set of pages that Bryce put together on various bits. Yeah. Mostly accurate, I think. And he seemed okay with pulling those in for official export. So, yes. I don't know if you've talked with him at all, but
I will now that I know you've talked to him.
There will be soon some documentation of the Milano 6 architecture. It's going to be published, and there we have tried to explain the RI2, for example. I don't know, maybe some of that material could be used in XORG.
You're the one who wrote the document on writing a module, right?
Yeah, okay, I remember that. Just realized you are the guy.
Yeah, okay, that was a good document.
That was
good. So, yeah.
We have some upcoming documentation on the RSU and how these buffers are closed, like trying to come up with pictures explaining that. And I don't know, somebody needs to verify that it's actually that. The way it goes. For us, it goes like that, but maybe not for.
Could you be okay with listening a lot of that?
I think those pictures explain a lot more the textual, well, what comes with this kind of proper management.
Would you be okay with those on the next wiki?
Yeah. It's not published yet, but I think they are going to publish soon.
Yeah, are we hearing about that? What's the timeline for this? Who knows? I tried to set a goal, basically, just to keep, you know, so I didn't get too far in the future. It's whenever it gets done. I said right now, if any newbies want to help with this, I'm kind of looking at the camera here, write me an email. I'll put you to work. Anyone else wants to help out with documentation, let me know, or, you know, yeah, speak up. Beyond that, I don't know, it gets done with everything else, but hopefully sooner or later.
I think this is valuable. I think it's great that you're doing this.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Well, I hope you do good. Yeah, that's all kind of a given, right? It's difficult to use. You only can use it.
Yeah,
how many newbies are here? I know I've talked to several. Maybe how many people consider themselves newbies? Shall we get back to you?
Alright,
so 5 or 6? 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11? Holy crap! Okay, that's cool. And then go for beers with you. Yeah, that's
okay.
Questions, comments, suggestions, helpful links?
Do you have an email address or anything that you want to like let people know about so if they want to get in touch with you easier?
Yes. Matt@osource.org is kind of my. So please don't be shy. Send me an email. I can be a little slow sometimes getting that email, but we'll get back to them.
We can create a documentation mailing list if there is enough interest.
There is one already, sure.
So you can revive it if we've forgotten about it.
Here, let's go find out.
There is an X documentation mailing list?
Almost certainly.
Really?
Yeah.
We had this discussion before.
You don't even know. It's really sad.
We don't have any 2 subscribers.
Oh, wow, there actually isn't. I'm shocked. But if you want one created, we can do this in about 30 seconds.
Is there enough interest in a documentation mailing list?
Yes, there's interest.
I tend to prefer not to multiply the list without necessity, but I depending on how much traffic this is, this ends up being maybe worthwhile.
For now, we just put a little tag in the subject.
For now, I would probably just say leave it on XORC eval and ignore everything that says patch in the title. And then if that becomes too much traffic, then we'll get to the order.
The value of having your own documentation elements is the model developers will be on it, and they are the ones to watch out first if documentation proposes it wrong. So keep on that result as well is probably the place for the meeting to have this study.
Yeah.
And that's the first thing.
The project that we've been similar to pick up for years is there's all the documentation of guest protocol. And separately, then you've got the headers for xlib, the implementation of the server, the implementation in xlib, all this different stuff. And with XCD, one of the things we tried to do was have a way of describing the protocol, but it's missing limited to the information about the semantics that you find in the protocol documentation. So I've been wishing somebody would take the text from the protocol spec, whether that's for the core protocol or any extensions, and add it to the XML descriptions of the protocol that we use to generate the code for XCD. And it's not something I've ever had time to do, but I'm wondering if that's a plausible movie project and then I'm interested.
How much estimated work do you think it is?
I mean, I think what it comes down to is take your favorite tool for translating this annotated XML into your favorite documentation format, which might be Kotlin, and then copy the text over. It's a matter of picking a reasonable way of representing information and then doing the migration.
So, that's simply something that we could do then.
Can you send me an email about that?
Okay.
I have a general question for the conference. Will the presentation be on the wiki, the XDS wiki?
It's a wiki, if not, you want to upload it.
Okay.
Michael is recording all the conversations?
Yeah, sure, but for the slides.
Oh, for the slides? Yeah, I hope we get all the slides.
If you have slides, please send them to me at pagexcredit.com. And I've been taking notes on IRC as we go, and I'll be blasting them into the wiki at the end of the day.
Everybody get that? Got slides, send them to
thanks a lot.
If you don't feel like using email, I've got a USB stick. So,
just did the wiki page and put yourself there. Just like,
put them up there yourself.
Yeah.
Remember to do that.
Have people.pdes.org.
Have a people.pdes.org and a pdes account.
I don't think we do. But.
Can you come here with any concrete set of questions as well?
The few I did have, I think I managed to get answered last night over at dinner. I'm trying to come up with more. I got 3 days to learn as much as possible from you guys.
I'm happy to write you along in advance, but I'm hesitant to write 2 paragraphs on myself.
Any of you guys want to go for beers or whatever and ramble on, I will listen to everything you say. That includes you, Mr. Keith.
All right, good. You've learned how open source conferences work.
Is there anything we should be doing to make it more friendly for newbies to get started on getting involved with that?
I will actually ask the other newbies here. You guys managed to actually continue staying in. Was there anything particularly that was helpful in staying involved?
I have one thing to say. Alex Deutscher did a few articles on his blog about how to start hacking on Radeon. I loved it, really. In fact, I've used his documentation, documentation breakfast for Nouveau. And, it's not the same, but just the CRTC, PLL, you get the general idea. And it's written in a friendly way, it's made for us. So we really feel like we could do something.
Yeah. About the kernel stuff, that reminded me that there was a Google Summer of Code project by Matt Turner, where a big part of what he was making a KMS driver, and a big part of that was to create the documentation of how to do that. So
you might talk to Matt about how that integrates with what you're doing since kernel mode setting is.
He didn't get here.
No, he's not here.
But what he said also brings up that with the documentation, the stuff we have in the tree, yeah, we have excellent specs for all the protocols. But actually how to use it a lot more, that's been put in people's blogs. Three, four times a day, I'm posting in the XORG IRC channel a pointer to one of Peter's blogs on how to use the white control alt backspace doesn't work anymore. Which iteration of XORG or of input configuration we're on now, depending on whether you're on HAL or the libudev or whatever. So much of the actual useful stuff is spread around all our blogs.
And even things like, you know, we've written down a lot of the justification for some things in the protocol documents, but there's no hint in a lot of places that says, by the way, the library is a very thin wrapper to the protocol. So if you read this request and then find the function in the library with that name, it probably does this. Like, even that level of breadcrumb is just not there in a lot of cases. The render library is particularly bad because it's just, we've written down the justification for how it's supposed to behave and what the invariants are. And you're literally just doing a very straight transformation on the server side. Everything that you write in the one side, there's no magic happening. The server's going to interpret it this way. But there's nothing saying, this is how you call it. And this is, you know, this function maps to this protocol request, does this thing. It's just not there. And so a lot of times, even for like toolkit developers, I've had them say, have you read the protocol? And they find that surprising. And they're right, it is surprising. So.
Could these articles and blog posts be collected somehow? I mean, like a series of articles on different stuff?
If people have, like, actually that would be useful if people find links or blog posts or whatever links to those posts, send the links. I don't want to have a collection of links eventually. I'd really like to take the information and just put the information in one place.
Yeah, that would be better, of course.
I got to get that information first, so.
Okay.
Yeah, if y'all got links or useful information, send to me. Or sent to the man list and put documentation in parentheses or something like that.
One last. So you said Indians would like to have a wiki. First, you are doing docbook.
The docbook stuff I'm working on right now.
Yeah.
The wiki, yes, we have one right now that everyone uses. I would like to help clean it up.
Yeah, because that's. For instance, everyone can just have the information is one we're working on, and that's the best way, I think, because sending emails, then you'll, it's just another layer of indirection. Information will be maybe a little different when you rewrite it, so it's better to have a wiki, I think.
It'd be nice if things are changing or anything new, put it on the wiki and it knows it becomes stable, not changing,
yeah.
Like that ever actually does happen, then move it.
A lot of the docbook docs are things like specifications that once they're set, they shouldn't be changing. While there's a lot of how to use it is often changing, we definitely need to get some best practices because what we recommended 10 years ago isn't what we recommend today. Make sure that just because you can find 500 pages that tell you how to draw a line with xlib doesn't mean you should.
It's sort of unfortunate that that xlib is such a bad API for writing an application in, and but people do it anyway.
Do a lot of people still use it?
They try. They really, really do. There's a weird mentality that says that I don't want to use a toolkit because it's too heavyweight and bloated and I want to do my own thing. The name of rewriting the entire toolkit, too.
Those are the same guys that like to hike in Antarctica.
There are some people who, there are people who decide that that's the way I'm going to do it because I can't. And it doesn't seem to matter how many times you tell them, no, it's really not the greatest idea. But that is, that's a failing too, right? That we have this description of how xlib works, that appears to be the programming API for writing x applications, and even just communicating better than This is a toolkit layer, not a, this is a toolkit build layer, this is an application API. Might be worthwhile. We don't have anything officially stating that with the wiki. It's just in the top of your own Zork development says, by the way, don't write your own window manager, don't write your own toolkit. And so only people who come in there see and look at the top to see it.
Sort of practically all of it.
Right. And yeah, even that's still wrong, right? Because generally you don't want to write applications straight to XCV unless you're doing something very, very small.
Any more questions? Any more newbies want to comment on their involvement next? Sally stated, anything that was useful? I guess that wraps up my presentation. Thanks for listening.
All right, good.